The dollar gets crisper.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The dollar has had very few friends around the world this year. Low interest rates and the soft U.S. economy have kept investors away from the dollar in droves. But the tide is starting to turn. Other economies around the world are struggling now, too. Today, the dollar hit a six-month high against the euro, $1.48. The pound is at a two-year low, $1.90. The dollar's newfound strength is continuing the slide in oil prices, $113 a barrel this morning. Gold has fallen about $40 an ounce the past 24 hours. It's at $8.08 this morning. Stocks are mostly lower overseas. In Asia, the markets lost about 1% by the close. Small losses in Europe so far. Yesterday, Wall Street had more gains. 48 points for the Dow. It's at 11,782. The NASDAQ was up 25, and the S&P 500 climbed 9. Not such great news on lending. The Federal Reserve says banks are tightening lending standards on home mortgages yet again, and now on business and consumer loans. Today, the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston holds a seminar for people on the brink of foreclosure. To make sure people show up for this, the Fed is holding it at a pro football stadium. Kurt Nickisch reports from WBUR.
The home field of the New England Patriots may see the most frustrated people since Tom Brady threw an interception in the AFC Championship game in January. Boston Fed spokesman Tom Lavelle says the foreclosure prevention workshop will be held in a skybox that only privileged ticket holders see during NFL games.
We're hopeful that it may draw out the isolated borrower, someone that's feeling alone, feeling anxious and confused by these challenging times.
Struggling homeowners can meet with 100 loan officers and nonprofit advisors. Lavelle says it's so much easier than cutting through all the red tape over the phone.
Usually it's competition that brings out the best. On this occasion, the best is coming together and reaching out to our fellow citizens in need.
Tackled for a loss, red zone, goal line stand, Lavelle says he's heard plenty of bad football analogies. He doesn't care as long as people who may be able to stay in their homes find out how. In Boston, I'm Kurt Nickisch for Marketplace.
The Olympics have become so tangled up with corporate marketing, it's kind of unbelievable. American companies and international ones are on the edge of their seat, waiting to call the next likable gold medalist for an endorsement contract. But this year, it's a Chinese company that's first on the scene. From Beijing, Scott Tong reports.
Sneaker company Li Ning is not an official Olympic sponsor, but it's riding the buzz just fine. Li Ning outfits many Chinese athletes, so when the gymnastics and diving teams won gold, company TV spots hit the air in China immediately. And it got massive free global PR Friday, when the company's founder lit the Olympic flame before a global audience. Jonathan Xiaje of the consultancy Interbrands says Li Ning is making a statement.
They are playing on the same level as anybody else around the world, any of the big guys, Adidas, Nike, Reebok, they're there now, certainly with the Chinese consumer. So that gives Li Ning the potential to be able to charge more money.
In the first 2 days of the games, Li Ning's stock jumped 7%. But the key is to sustain Olympic momentum. Marketing experts say Li Ning needs to overcome the image of a poor man's Nike. In Beijing, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, global provider of fuels, power, and energy services. Committed to sound, efficient, sustainable energy solutions. Constellation.com.
Today isn't just the 12th of August. In Britain, it's the glorious 12th, the start of the red grouse hunting season. I doubt the birds think it's so glorious, but a lot of people do. I'm joined by our man in London, Stephen Beard. Stephen, you were telling me how big a deal this is. Why?
It is really one of the most important days in the social calendar of Britain's landed aristocracy, and increasingly the newly rich from Britain's financial district. It's a very important day as well for England's rural economy.
And why is that? What is the economic impact?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, this hunting grouse and also pheasant and partridge and other field birds inject something like $3 billion into the British economy, support something like 70,000 jobs, and also helps pay for the upkeep of two-thirds of the British countryside. So it is a very big deal indeed.
How much does it cost to shoot a grouse?
Too much for us, I fear. I mean, generally what happens, you pay a flat fee, and then at the end of the day, they count up the number of birds you've shot, and you get charged per bird. $200 for every pair, $100 for each bird you shoot. If you're talking about a hunting party of, say, 20 hunters, they could easily spend $60,000 today alone. So this is for people with a great deal of money. And increasingly on the grouse moors of Scotland and the north of England, we have seen Russian oligarchs and Indian tycoons and Arab billionaires.
Are there limits to the number of grouse people can shoot?
Not formally. However, there is a kind of curious etiquette at work here. If a shooting party kills more than 500 birds, this is considered carnage and not sport. Generally, it's felt that a party of 20 hunters should not really shoot many more than, say, 300 birds maximum. And that is considered sufficient to keep down the grouse population and also to bring a pretty good income into the owners of these grouse moors.
But I imagine that there are a lot of people in Britain who think shooting any grouse out of the sky isn't in good taste.
No, absolutely. The animal welfare lobby targets the glorious 12th every year. I mean, it is a red letter day for animal rights campaigners, and they often turn up in considerable numbers to try to sabotage the hunts. But grouse moors are very large places, and usually it's pretty easy for the hunters to elude the animal welfare campaigners.
Well, it sounds like quite an event. Stephen Beard in London, thank you.
Okay, Scott.
In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.